All right, well, let's start, Lindsay, with what have you been doing the last few days? How's life on house arrest, for lack of a better term? How have you handled the sequestering that we're all forced to be doing right now?
Yeah, it's kind of changed up everybody's routines and lifestyles for sure. But I think one thing that they're saying is try to keep your daily routine as normal as possible in your house. I mean, that's obviously, you know, we're all used to going out and being, whether it's at a game or at work, you know, so it's not really possible, but trying to do that here. So I've gotten up and I'm, you know, fortunate to have an exercise bike here and a, you know, room in the basement for a workout. So I try to get a workout in every day, and then touching base with our kids pretty much, trying to make sure that they're all just safe and feeling like they're, you know, being taken care of and looked after. So touching base with them every day. Still recruiting. You know, obviously been in touch daily with, you know, Mark and his staff, you know, in the athletic department, and watching a little bit of like restarted Homeland, the series. gotten back into Succession. Been watching a lot of ESPN. Plus, like, I've been watching, you know, the Dwayne Wade special. Watch that. Finished Big Little Lies. So I've been watching a lot of shows and just kind of keeping tabs on family and our kids on the team, because they're obviously our number one priority.
Yeah, I want to get your, at the end, we'll get your quarantine recommendations for shows as well as books. I feel like everybody has to have that now, because we're all in the same boat a little bit. You mentioned staying connected to the team. I am curious how you are able to do that. I mean, how were you able to kind of say goodbye, so to speak, within the last few days? I'm sure you would be having them, you know, they'd be in classes, they'd be coming through the facility, they'd be working out, you know, a couple of times a week on their own, I'm sure. And I'm sure you've got a bunch of things that they would be doing now. So how have you put together the plan to kind of make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing after, you know, the health stuff that you have to, of course, take, put right there in at the forefront?
Yeah, I mean, we've pretty much just given them all the recommendations from, you know, from President Gable and, you know, the CDC and all those things, just so we know that they have that information to, you know, stay home as much as possible and wash your hands. And if you do have to go out, hand sanitizer, stay 6 feet away, all those things, don't gather, you know. And you know, college kids, it's hard to, you know, if they don't gather with more than 10 people, but
right.
You just have to right now to be able to get through this. So this week we would have had a team meeting on Monday. We had our, after the Big Ten tournament, we had our 7-day season finish. We had our 7-day just kind of discretionary period. You have to take off NCAA rules. We would have had a team meeting and then individual end of season meetings all week. So instead of that, we haven't had a full team meeting on Zoom, but we're doing Zoom end of season meetings. So I have my first one tomorrow, just as far as season recap with kids, you know, some real strengths that we saw from the season, some areas to improve. And then I want them to, you know, come with, you know, goals and things that they have for the spring and summer, both on and off the court, and, you know, for sure check in on academics and see how we can support them since everything is online right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just kind of a lot of texting, some FaceTime calls, and, you know, more or less, I think I've had to email the team as a group, just kind of next steps. And, you know, obviously when they said we're not, you know, we can't do anything until April 6th. Well, now they've, you know, since shut the university down for the semester. So,
right.
It's just been a lot of communication like that. And now that I think we're, you know, this will be the new norm for the next few months or so, we'll get into some of the stuff as far as goals. And then we'll find out when we can all get back together as a team.
Well, how do you make sure, you know, one of the advantages of having Athletes Village, for example, is the kids all eat there and they all study there, more important, which is the reason mm-hmm. that they're there first and foremost, and then of course play basketball, and they've got the tutors and they've got everything. How have you been able to make sure that you are staying as connected academically as you can, because everybody's trying to figure out the new normal with online classes and all of that stuff? One of the big advantages for student athletes, because they need them because of the time commitments, is the help and the availability and the places to study and all of that. So how do you navigate around those types of things?
Well, luckily our academic people are top notch, and you know, shout out to Chris Cord, who's our academic advisor. He's got everything lined up where if they had you know, let's say a tutor or a learning specialist or an intern that's helping that's helping them throughout their classes. If they were here, then those people will be reaching out this week because school technically started back today. So if spring break was extended till today, now they're back on and having their online classes. So if anything they need from any of those resources, all those people have been in touch with them all week to kind of get this thing going. If they have questions or need help, then they're able to help them, you know, via a lot of FaceTime, a lot of Zoom. I've never really heard of, I didn't know what Zoom was, but now I'm becoming very good at these Zoom meetings and, you know, Google Hangouts and all that stuff. So all that's done through that now. And yeah, our kids are back in classes. We've been, you know, trying to schedule meetings, you know, for the rest of the week and next week. And, you know, they all have classes from 9 to 11. So we're meeting during what would have been our practice times. And so, yeah, they're taken care of for sure. And, you know, a lot of it will come down to them being on, you know, on their tasks and on their homework and, you know, taking quizzes and studying for tests. And, you know, I think it's good for student athletes that they've had to deal with time management their whole life. And so now it really becomes even more key now in this situation, because it's a lot of it's going to be on them and how they're using their time wisely and making sure they're sticking with their academics.
What do you remember life for you like 1 week ago, basically tomorrow, Wednesday? I think you were at Williams Arena sitting courtside watching games. How far off does that feel for you? And what do you remember about the next 24 to 48 hours after that?
Yeah, it feels like, it feels like almost a lifetime ago now. It just feels like it's just been, each day has been surreal. Yeah, I was recruiting at Williams Arena, and you kind of had started to, you know, there was news and different things happening. I think it was, at first it was, I think the Ivy League had shut down their conference tournament. And then it just kind of, or at first they said they're going to have no fans. And so then kind of wondering if they're going to let fans of the state, you know, to be able to, you know, be out recruiting. And so, you know, just being out there, you're kind of just getting updates and things as time went on. And the kicker for me was NCAA tournament. Well, two kickers. NCAA tournament said they weren't going to allow fans, and then the NBA can't suspended the season. And then I said, "All right, something. This is going to go to a whole different level." And we had conference calls, and more conference calls about what the next steps were for our kids. And obviously, off campus recruiting was on campus, and off campus recruiting was shut down by the NCAA to April 15th. So. So yeah, it was quite the stretch of 24 to 48 hours. I don't know. Just try to get his kind of stock up, because he felt like this was coming. Yep. And so get as much stuff to be able to stay home for a while was also top of mind at that point.
So for recruiting, obviously spring is an important time for recruiting. Summer's a huge time for recruiting, and we still really have no idea what's going to happen there in terms of, you know, tournaments that are going on and travel restrictions and all those things. So what changes in recruiting have you already gone through a little bit as you try to find the next, because that's, as you know, I'm sure you learned as a head coach, recruiting's fairly important, and everybody's in the same boat, so it's not like anybody's got an advantage over anybody. But how different has it been just recruiting right now, and what kind of things do you have to do?
Well, yeah. So right now for women's basketball, we're in our contact period. So where we can go to a recruit's home or school and have a sit down with them with their parents or coach or, you know, family member, guardian, whoever. And so we've had to really, you know, step up our technology game. And like I said, this Zoom app has been a lifesaver. So we've just put together you know, presentations and done it all over the computer. So it's been something that has been, you know, obviously it's a challenge, and you want to be able to, you know, go and sit in recruits' living rooms, because you get to know them on a personal level and, you know, perhaps have a meal and whatnot. But this is where it is for everybody right now. So, you know, recruiting is no different, and we'll just wait till we hear what the NCAA says.
And so
once we kind of approach that April 15th date.
There are no home visits, obviously, no on-campus visits, but calls, texts, emails, all of that stuff, FaceTime, like you said, Zoom, all of that stuff is fair game, right? So you just feel like we're trying to keep our kids off of the tablet and off of the phone right now, because it's the only thing really that keeps them quiet. But for you, I have to imagine that's a pretty important part about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's it right now. It's first and foremost, it's always our kids on our team and making sure they're feeling safe. But then, you're trying to just check in with the kids you're recruiting as much as possible, the 21s that we can contact and have that correspondence with. You're trying to just check in and set up times for kind of these virtual visits. So it's been quite the adjustment, but luckily I have a couple people on my staff that are better than me at technology that can figure all this out. And I just kind of let them do their work and kind of have meetings from the living room at your respective home.
So 2 years in as a head coach, how do you feel? Like, how do you feel as a head coach from when you started a couple of years ago? What stands out that where maybe you feel better about some things, maybe feel worse about some things or things you didn't know? Just kind of give me the state of your mind frame here as it comes to being a head coach.
Yeah, well, I think that, for us this year, year one, it's a bit of a, it's a kind of honeymoon period where everybody's excited. I was still playing at the time. So, I think the team my first year, was real just, ready for anything and ready for kind of a change. And I think it's this way with any program. I don't think it's just specific to our program, but year two, you got to PJ says you're digging and it's, you really need to fight for the culture that you want to have. And, I thought that there was obviously some times when, there was adversity, off the floor and, mm-hmm. I think we're fighting for that every day. And it's something that's top of mind for us always is, Mark hired me to win games, but do things the right way. And so, that was big this year for us. And I'm proud of the way that the team finished out the season, despite some challenges. And so, I'm excited for what's ahead and moving forward. I think the biggest thing probably that I've had to either adjust through or, learn at this level is it's all about the kids and off the, and just making sure you're getting to know them off the court. Like in the pros, we all are there for practice and everybody kind of goes about their business, mm-hmm. And I think with now how connected we are with, your phones and FaceTime and all those things that if you're not checking in on your kids daily, you're going to miss something. And so that's, I think where, my communication level went to, another level this year, just because you have to get to, know your players and get to understand kind of what makes them go on an even higher level than in the pros, because they're at a younger age and they're in this college experience. And, I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned throughout these 2 years is just how important those relationships are. And you know it going in, but to actually be in the day-to-day and still want to push them and hold them accountable, I think it's paramount that you have that relationship off the court, and it's something that will be top of mind for me and my staff from here on out.
You mentioned going through adversity. Obviously, you had a player leave in the middle of the year, and I'm mm-hmm. curious, who did you lean on through those tough times? Because that's a challenging situation for any head coach, let alone someone basically a year and a half into it, So who did you kind of lean on through those things and seek guidance from, if anybody?
Obviously our administration was tremendous. I mean, they were phenomenal. Mark and Julie, it was challenging times for everybody. And, those guys really were tremendous. And their guidance and leadership really helped us through all those, kind of tough days and whatnot. And then just honestly, my parents and, a little bit from Coach Reeve and Coach T, the two coaches I had in the WNBA, they knew just, the times that, every season has its challenging times. And a lot of texts of this too shall pass as far as some of the tough times. But I would say, first and foremost, Mark and Julie were tremendous.
How different was it to be the authority figure in a situation like that, you know, where it, for better or worse, it's your program, right? And like you said, you've got to fight for everything that you want it to be about. What was that like, just on a personal level, going through, you know, being, hey, I'm the boss, I'm in charge, I've got to make tough decisions, and I'm going to get help from it. You just mentioned you got help in those things, but just to be, you know, that person that has that authority, as opposed to, you've said it before, I used to be a player. You know, I'd show up, I'd work out, I'd go to practice, yeah. I'd do my own thing. I didn't even know what the coaches did, you know, after all that ended. So what was that like?
Well, I lost 15 pounds in the season, so if that tells you anything, I had a hard time eating and sleeping. And you never want things to go the way they did, where, you know, we have a player leave, and, you know, it just was, you know, have a couple players that, that didn't come on the Illinois trip. It was awful. It was awful. And you try to just think back, and you try to learn, what could I have done differently? What should we have done differently? And, just a lot of, I guess, trying to get, you know, get the team through it, and trying to get us through a couple of days just to get us to practice and get us to the game, that was the goal, you know? And so, yeah, it's definitely not something anybody wants to go through, but, you know, the culture here and what can be done at Minnesota on the women's basketball team, it's worth fighting for, because it's something that changed my life, and it's so special to me. You know, I'm not sitting here as a head coach without my time here at the U as a player and everything that the university has done for me. So it's worth fighting for. I definitely was not perfect. And, you know, you try to do things as best you can, but I know it's worth fighting for, because I've been here and I've been able to see the success. So, you know, it was something that, you know, we want to win, but we have to do things the right way. And there's, you know, accountability and respect that has to take place. And, you know, it was the first time in my career that I was put in that position where, you know, I had to really feel like I had to take a stand for doing things the right way in my program. And, you know, that's what I tried to do. And it definitely wasn't easy, and there was tough times. But I feel like, you know, our program took some big steps this season, you know, despite everything that had happened at times there in January.
All right. Well, let's wrap up on this, Lindsay. We mentioned that we're basically all quarantined. Everybody's streaming things. The radio station I work for is trying to find old games to play just so we can fill the airtime. If somebody went back and said, all right, we need like 3 Gopher games from your career that we're going to replay, Which games should those be? Like, give me like your top 2 or 3 from the Lindsay Whalen, Janelle McCarville, that era, Final Four era, obviously in 2004, that you think people would be interested in listening to again or watching again.
Yeah, I mean, for sure the Duke game where we win and go to the Final Four. That's always a fun one. I would probably say the UCLA game. The first round game, that was really one of the better women's basketball games. I mean, I think when you look back on it, there was maybe like 7 or 8 pros on the floor in that game. So just a high level of a lot of scoring. You know, we all tried to defend each other, guard each other, but the offense was just too good in that game. I would probably say one of the sellouts for sure, like the Penn State game, my senior year. Iowa maybe my senior year. I would probably say those games would be fun to go back and rewatch. So if anybody wants to post them on YouTube, that'd be cool. If we can go back and watch. I don't know how to find those games.
Well, you're getting technologically savvy. You'll be able to do it by the end of the week, probably. I mean, now you've got the Zoom app, you've got all those things. You'll probably be able to figure it out by the end of the night.
That's true. I think we'll all get really good at this downloading and streaming and watching of different things. But yeah, maybe I'll have to do that once we're kind of wrapped up for the day from the home office here and put a game on or something.
Well, there were a lot of pros, like you said, in those games. I mean, I just think about even the Final Four when you guys were there with Taurasi, and obviously a Simone was in there as well. You guys, I think it was Holtzclaw in that era. Who was in there from Tennessee? There was somebody else that was good there as well. But my favorite game from that year, truthfully, was the second round game against Kansas State. Another pro, Nicole Oldie, was on that court. Lynx draft pick, we got to know her. But I've always said, you know, that game for me is one of my top five in Williams Arena because, as I think you know, my family had season tickets, so we were at all those games. And we didn't sit down probably until, like, the five-minute mark of the second half. Like, we just got there, and we never sat down because you guys had played so well, and we didn't know if it was going to be the last game. Obviously, people were trying to help you along. No idea that it's going to be a Final Four run on the other side of it, but I would say there's only one game I've been to in my life at the Barn where we never sat, and that was that second-round game against Kansas State.
Yeah, that was That was a great game. I, you know, no disrespect to Kansas State, but I didn't put that one on there because I think we got up 30 on them early. It was I still those, you know, like you said, Oldie was on the team, Kendra Wecker, Megan Mahoney, players that we played with Winston against for several years. Well, after that, and I always obviously brought that game up, and that they just still cringe. They just like the atmosphere at the Barn was like it was shaking, and they just we literally ran them off the floor. And anytime we bring up that game, still now, if I was to bring it up, they just cringe about that game. And it's an example of what that arena can do. You know, it's what the program can do. You know, once we get this thing to that level, it's an example of what can happen. And so, like I said, that's something that we fight for is you know, putting the team on the floor that's going to do those things and bring us back some of those memories, because it can happen and it will happen.
Yeah, tough break for a 2 seed that year, Kansas State, to come to the Barn. But anyway,
not good.
You mentioned a couple of the shows you've already watched here in our basically 72 hours of quarantine. Give us like the Lindsey Whalen list for what people should be watching, streaming, reading, perhaps in our final minute or two.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not a big reader. I should pick that up, but big on. So let's see, Restarted Homeland. On the Succession. If you're looking for comedy, for sure, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yep. I mean, The Office might be a good. I mean, I've watched The Office probably 3 times through. I think The Office would be a good one. Let's see what else. I've watched The Wire probably like 4 or 5 times all the way through. That's another classic. It's almost like. Sometimes you go to Netflix or whatever you're streaming on now. It's almost a little overwhelming.
Yes.
Just the options that you have. But yeah, there's nothing better when you are able to kind of just, you know, be home and, I guess, resting, relaxing, to be able to, you know, get really into a show. So I finished Big Little Lies earlier this week, season 2. So those are some of mine. What about you?
I'm not in charge of my TV. With my wife and 3 kids, I have no... I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm at like midnight every night as it goes. That's like my time that I get with the TV. Otherwise...
Your time to shine?
That's my time, yeah. But the volume's got to be kind of low because I can't wake anybody up. So it's... I'm actually reading while my wife is watching other shows, if that makes sense.
She watches,
well, it's the standards, you know, she's going back into Grey's Anatomy again. There's a show on Showtime called Shameless that she likes. She actually got swept back up into The Bachelor late. She used to be big into The Bachelor like 10 years ago. Now, apparently, she's back on that. So I ended up watching the last couple of episodes there. High drama, a lot of drama there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly just that. So I'm reading by nightlight, basically, while she's watching those shows. And then I get to, you know, catch up with... Curb Your Enthusiasm and some others later on. So I'm not the right person to ask. Like, all those shows you just named, I've heard are tremendous, and hopefully I get to them at some point, but I don't think it's going to be in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I don't know if it's in the next decade or so. You got 3 kids,
yeah.
Yeah, so you got – all right, so yeah.
They've got a lot of challenges.
In 10 years, there'll be something new out, I bet.
I hope so. Well, thanks for taking the time today. Get back to the Zoom app. Good luck with recruiting and everything, and hopefully we all get to see each other's faces again at some point. Thanks for taking the time.
Sounds good.